This is Davin's Den.
This is Davin's Den.
All right, we are back. Thank you for hanging out. We're doing the April Fool's Countdown. Listen, watching. Davin's Den. Pip, why don't you give us a rundown of the categories and the winners of the first and the second part of the show.
Okay. Well, so far, we had an athlete. Davin's category, Davin's offering was a wrestler who set his crotch on fire, then was smacked with a weed whacker. Unfortunately, his pants were burnt to a crisp by the time he was done being put out from his misery. Then Joe, oh my God, I didn't write down what Joe's was, but his athlete did not win.
No, don't worry. And we don't need the runner ups. Just the winners.
Oh, okay. So Davin's winner was the flaming crotch wrestler.
Yes.
Then in the general celebrity category, Joe and I won with Will Smith, making a big fool out of himself just recently. For Florida man / woman, Davin and Joe won because Davin had the woman who was on her runaway suitcase, motorized suitcase, who then spit in the eye of the cop, told him to suck her dick, and then took a poo in the back of the police car. And Joe had the man who was fucking his friend's dog, got caught, and then went on a rampage attacking the people who called him out on it. So we've had quite an eventful second half part of the show.
Yes, we have to keep the momentum going. Joe, are you there?
Yep.
Where's your face? Oh, there. Look at it. He just appears from the NASA screen.
All of a sudden, he floats in from the background of the command central. You just see little bits of him.
Yeah.
He's all pixelated, and then all of a sudden, we have Joe bringing his...
All right.
He shows up with the boost so that he can become even more pixelated.
Hysterical.
We will go with politics. Always hotly debated on this show. Although, I kind of think there's a clear-cut winner this year, but we'll see. We'll see. I will start us off.
Okay.
Marjorie Taylor Greene. I think the name right there says it. But I will run down the accomplishments of this woman the past year. Pip's already laughing. May 2021, during an interview on a conservative podcast this week, she compared House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's decision to continue to require members of the House to wear masks on the chamber floor to steps the Nazis took to control the Jewish population during the Holocaust. You know, it's funny. My family just went to the Holocaust Museum. They mentioned nothing of the mask exhibit. So, she goes, you know, we can look back at a time in history where people were told to wear a gold star, and they were definitely treated like second-class citizens. You think? So much so that they were put in trains and taken to gas chambers in Nazi Germany, Green said. And this is exactly the type of abuse that Nancy Pelosi's talking about. Round up your Republicans and take them to the gas chamber, she said. July 2021. Marjorie Taylor Greene on Tuesday compared officials carrying out President Joe Biden's latest COVID-19 vaccination push to Nazi-era brown shirts, just weeks after apologizing for her comments comparing Capitol Hill mask wearers' rules to the Holocaust. Responding to remarks from Biden about mobilizing officials to reach unvaccinated individuals at their homes, Greene tweeted, "People have a choice. They don't need your medical brown shirt showing up at their door ordering vaccinations. You can't force people to be part of the human experiment." The term brown shirts refers to the paramilitary group that helped facilitate Adolf Hitler's rise in power in the 30s and 40s. On Sunday, a Republican firebrand attacked the Atlanta-based Argosy restaurant after it said it would refuse to service unvaccinated customers. She said, accused the Georgia restaurant of segregation over the weekend. Yes, because they're not serving vaccinated customers. It's just like we had this segregation we had in this country. And that was just July. August 2021. She suggested at a recent Republican fundraiser in Alabama that Southerners could threaten President Joe Biden's police state friends with guns if they show up at their homes asking about the corona's vaccination status. The late July event in Dothan was closed to the media, but a video clip of some of her comments leaked. You lucky people here in Alabama might get a knock on your door, because I hear Alabama might be one of the most unvaccinated states. Nobody's knocking on your door if you're unvaccinated, sweetie. Green told the crowd, prompting cheers and applause over the state's low vaccination rate. Well, Joe Biden wants to come talk to you guys. He's going to be sending one of his police state friends to your front door to knock on the door, take down your name, your address, your family members' names, your phone numbers, your cell phone numbers, and probably ask for your social security number and whether you've taken the vaccine or not. What they don't know is in the South, we all love our Second Amendment rights, and we're not real big on strangers showing up on our front door, are we? They might not like the welcome they get. So much for Southern hospitality. I never heard about Southern hospitality. Y'all don't come back now or you shoot. You hear? Never heard that. Then to continue, Marjorie suggested at a recent Republican fundraiser in Alabama that Southerners could threaten Joe Biden's police state friends. I already have that. It wasn't clear whether Green was referring to the administration's COVID surge response teams or grassroots volunteers encouraging vaccination. The team made up of experts from FEMA, the Center of Disease Control and Prevention, and other federal agents aimed to help states with low vaccination rates prevent, detect, and respond. September 2021, conspiracy theory endorsing Marjorie Green turned to the cartoon Scooby-Doo to try to trash the Green New Deal on the House floor on Wednesday, and critics couldn't believe this stunt wasn't a parody. This is a simple meme that you would find on the internet, but this meme is very real, the Green said, pointing to a poster holding up an aid showing character Fred Jones unmasking a baddie who turns out to be the communist emblems of the hammer and sickle. The Green New Deal surprise serves China and only China. Now, whether you like the Green New Deal or you don't, I don't know if Scooby-Doo is the best way to get your point across. This is a good one. 13 House Republicans voted with nearly all House Democrats to pass the major bipartisan piece of legislation late on Friday and August 19th. Republican senators voted in favor of the infrastructure legislation along with all the senators of the Democratic caucus. But even though the significant investment in the nation's roads, bridges, public transportation, and water system is much needed, according to engineers, Green views the bipartisan bill as, wait for it, kids, communism. These are the 13 Republicans who handed over their voting cards to House Speaker Nancy Pelosi to pass Joe Biden's communist takeover of America via so-called infrastructure. Your so-called highways. That's not a highway, Green tweeted early Saturday morning. She then listed the 13 GOP House members. December 2021, she renewed calls for a divorce between red and blue states, arguing Americans who moved to conservative states from California and New York should have a cooling off period being allowed to vote. Talk about second-class citizens, a cooling-off period. The outspoken GOP congresswoman tweeted her comment Wednesday in response to a thread from a man who said he was moving from San Francisco to Miami and was wary of Florida politics. Green agreed with a Twitter user who supported discriminating against transplants by imposing a sin tax on them and banning them from the polls for a period. All possible a national divorce scenario, Green wrote. After Democrat voters and big donors ruin a state like California, you would think it wise to stop them from doing it to another great state like Florida. Brainwash people from California and New York really need a cooling off period. So much for freedom, eh, kids? So much for freedom. Wow. January 2022, she was banned permanently from Twitter. February 2022, now we have Nancy Pelosi's, and even Joe commented on this one, gazpacho police. Spying on members of Congress, spying on the legislative work we do, spying on our staff, and spying on American citizens, Green said, One America Network's Real America program. Green said on Tuesday's show that the Capitol Police had been doing the bidding of Pelosi. Nancy Pelosi is using them like political pawns, sending them into our offices. Now, none of us know. Have they been in our offices at night? We don't know, but probably they're going after all of us. She spoke before a meeting of white nationalists who support Russian President Vladimir Putin, drawing a rebuke Saturday from the leader of the Republican National Committee and others. Green, who was barred from sitting on congressional committees because of extremist comments, said she did not know the views of the delegates at the conference and did not apologize for speaking there. In a tweet, Green said she would not be drawn into the guilt by association game in which you demand every conservative should justify anything ever said by anyone they ever shared a room with. you should kind of know if you're dealing with white nationalists if you're in Congress, I would think. I talked about God and liberty. I'm also not going to turn down the opportunity to speak to 1,200 young America First Patriots because of a few off-color remarks by another speaker, even if I find those remarks unsavory. CPAC banned the organizer of the alternate conference, Nicholas Fuentes, for his extremist views. The Anti-Defamation League described Fuentes as a well-known white supremacist pundit and organizer who has expressed support for the nation's white demographic core. In his address to his conference, Fuentes joked about Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Now they're going on about Vladimir Putin of Russia and Vladimir Putin as Hitler. And they say that like it's not a good thing. Smiling, Fuentes added, I shouldn't have said that, then laughed. The crowd at the America First Conference chanted Putin, Putin. But who could blame Marge for speaking at this conference? What? Just go, Marge. You do you. You do you. let's see. What the hell happened? I lost. She lied. She didn't print out all my shit. Here we go. March 2020, tragically, people are dying because of Putin's poor decision-making leading up to Putin declaring war on Ukraine. Biden's weakness and failure as leader has not only put America last, but is the...
I got to interrupt you for a second. Is she printing that as you go, like it's like you're at APP?
No.
This just in.
No, what happened was... Well, it sounds like that. I get it. But my printer wasn't. My printer in here isn't working, and the other printer can't.
Washington, we have this.
All right, and here, and then this one just happened a couple of days ago. Just so you guys know, she's consistent. We're not going to drill oil right here in the USA. We're going to drill oil right here in the USA. And you know what? Pete Buttigieg can take his electric vehicles and his bicycles, and he and his husband can stay out of our girls' bathrooms. What? What?
Wow.
Such a body of work. Such a body of work.
Yes, because if you're gay, you're a gay man, you definitely want to be in the woman's room. Yes, that's a logical jump.
So that is my politician. Joe, what do you have?
All right, I got Joe Biden. Basically, he tells stories that aren't true, such as claiming to have been arrested in the civil rights movement.
Now that bothers you? Now that shit bothers you from a president? You thought it was entertaining and cool as shit a couple of years ago.
He tells stories that aren't true, such as claiming to have been arrested in the civil rights movement, driven a tractor trailer, and intervened in Israel's Six-Day War. He struggled to recall what branch of the military his late son Bo served in. In September, a meeting with senators, he referred to himself as one of their colleagues, before correcting himself. Wait, I got this job now.
Hold on. We've all transferred jobs and forgot where we work, Joe. Come on.
No. Number one job I got. The scandal with the laptop has been confirmed true, and he could be the big guy noted. The time the president pulled an Anchorman on November 23rd, the president addressed America's rising gas prices and inflation. But all that was quickly thrown away when he got carried away by reading off the teleprompter in true Ron Burgundy style. The president said, all the way through the supply chain, there's a lot of innovation because of the actions we've taken and things have begun to change. And then he said, end of quote. He read end of quote. He forgot the name of the Prime Minister of Australia and called him the fella down under.
All right. That's close. That's not a lie. It's accurate.
Is that anything like the elf on the shelf?
Yeah, sure. It's the fella down under.
I call something else the fella down under.
Yeah, that's Mr. Helix.
Exactly, yes.
He said, inflation has nothing to do with him. It's the fault of the supply chain and it's the fault of COVID-19. Well, actually, it's primarily the cause of inflation, out of control federal government spending that has flooded the U.S. economy with trillions of dollars. Recently, he stated that Putin cannot stay in power, which has caused an uproar. That's constantly going on right now. In the State of the Union, he said Putin may circle Kiev with tanks, but it'll never gain the hearts and souls of the Iranian people. He needs a map.
He's got a point. He's got a point.
Did he say Iranian people?
Yes, he did. Yeah, he did.
Well, where's he wrong?
I mean, technically, it's true.
You know what's weird? You know what's weird about this? You could swipe Trump and Biden with this list, and like Joe would be arguing against it. Like if I was reading this thing as Trump, I mean that's how parallel it is in some ways.
In August, Biden's microphone was cut off after a reporter asked a question about American standard in Afghanistan. During another press conference in March, Biden was speaking at a House Democrat caucus event when the microphone was cut off right after the president told reporters he was happy to take questions. And there it is.
Hold on. I must interrupt the show. We have breaking news from the News 9.5 news desk. The missing box has been located. That is tremendous. That is tremendous.
Oh, good.
That's tremendous.
I am very happy for the girls. I feel like no lesson was learned. Probably not. But that is tremendous. I am very, very happy to hear that.
You probably consolidated that box within another.
Yeah. Yeah. So now I place. But
the box was half full, so they probably figured we'll put it in this other box. Yeah, it's like when you get a shipment and you call the factory and go, where's my, oh, it's in this other box. Hey, you didn't, all right, yeah, no, that's good. That's good news.
In other breaking news, the DVR shows still have not shown up.
You're batting
so
500.
My fool apology.
Well, I mean, you took the same tactic I took. You went with a body of work. You would have yelled at me for doing that, but that's what you did. You see, it serves you well when you do it, because it really makes a case about how foolish somebody has been over a long period of time. So, kudos. All right, Pip, what do you got?
Okay, well, I went the other way, and I went with one particular action. Okay. Sorry, I have to scroll up. A Nebraska state lawmaker apologized on Monday after he publicly cited a persistent but debunked rumor alleging that schools are placing litter boxes in school bathrooms to accommodate children who self-identify as cats.
Well, hold on, Pip. I mean, you know, these are the issues that we need to talk about. I'd hate to think that somebody got in trouble because he was talking about, you know, feline Americans. But go on. Go on.
You know, this is an issue close to my heart.
It clearly is. You're like, where were these when I was in school?
Yes.
Now I know why you were talking about poop in the earlier segment, how one was just in the middle of the floor. Now it all ties together. If this woman had a litter box, you know, maybe she would have won the Rock of Love with Flavor Flav.
Maybe she would have won.
Go on with your feline American story, dear.
Senator Bruce Bostelman, a conservative Republican, repeated the false claim during a public televised debate on a bill intended to help school children who have behavioral problems. His comments quickly went viral, with one Twitter video garnering more than 300,000 views as of Monday afternoon. This was on the 29th, and drew an onslaught of online criticism and ridicule. Bostelman initially said he was shocked when he heard stories that children were dressing as cats and dogs while at school, with claims that schools are accommodating them with litter boxes. They meow and they bark and they interact with their teachers in this fashion, Bostelman said during legislative debate. And now schools are wanting to put litter boxes in the schools for these children to use. How is this sanitary?
Fair point.
The rumor has persisted in a private Facebook group, Protect Nebraska Children, and also surfaced last month in an Iowa school district, forcing the superintendent to write to the parents that it was simply and emphatically not true. Bostelman said that he planned to discuss the issue with the CEO of the Nebraska Department of Health and Human Services. He also alleged that schools were not allowing kids to wear flags, but didn't give specific examples. In 2016, Lincoln's public school district briefly asked students not to fly American flags from their vehicles after one flag was pulled from its holder, but school officials later apologized. The false claim that the children who identify as cats are using litter boxes in school bathrooms has spread across the internet since at least December, when a member of the public brought it up at a school board meeting for Midland Public Schools northwest of Detroit. Now, I recognize that this guy is small potatoes. He's a senator from Nebraska. But I just was delighted by the idea that this guy took an internet rumor about children identifying as cats and dogs and needing to be accommodated by putting litter boxes in the school bathroom.
What?
Because it's so fucking stupid. The fact that he wouldn't actually, like, look into it a little bit more before bringing that up in the Senate for debate just shows to me how incredibly stupid some of our lawmakers are, that they would have these dumb conversations based on ridiculous internet rumors, and this is the stuff that our lawmakers are worried about instead of worrying about, like, things like, oh, I don't know, World War III impending, a pandemic, poverty.
You know, Pip, no, see, you don't understand. Pip, you don't understand. You don't understand. You know, you should call it the small potatoes. He understands the smaller people to deal from. He's trying to play to his base. And the base is very concerned about cat litters in our schools. Because if you think about it, you also have kids that are claustrophobic. So if you're going to have cat litters in the schools, you can't have the ones with the lids on top, because some of the kids will be confined. So you really need an open one. And then you have some kids and cats that will only pee in one and poop in another. And really, you know, our public schools are strained for cash. And, you know, where is all this money going to come from so that each kid who identifies as a feline American can pee in one or not pee in another? Then you have to decide, are we getting the cheap stuff or are we getting the clumping stuff? If we get the scented kids, all these kids have allergies. The last thing you need is a kid getting an itchy tushy because he went in his litter box. I mean, so you're really not giving this story the due and the thought that is required, dear.
Oh, I'm giving it the due. Plenty of due. I mean, it's one ridiculous man, but it's just, it's really a placemaker for all the ridiculousness that goes on under the guise of running the country and being lawmakers. And, you know, this is, they're fighting for even the feline Americans unnecessarily, as it turns out.
And then you have your Fido Americans, and because if you're going to allow for the feline Americans, you have to allow the Fido Americans to go out and piss on a tree in the middle of the school day. There's a lot of things that going on here, Pip.
No, they were just setting up fire hydrants in the bathroom.
Yeah. All right.
That should do it.
Joe, are you willing to concede that our politicians' body of works should bow to this small potatoes senator from Nebraska?
No, because it's just a couple of incidences where the our politicians have a whole body of shenanigans behind them.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? And I was going to... If you were gonna lay down your sword, I was gonna lay down my sword too and give this one to Pip, because I always appreciate the creativity. And it was very. I mean, we have politicians doing one-off stupid things all the time, but I mean, really, this is pretty entertaining. I was willing to concede that, Joe, but you're not willing to give her that.
I think that if, I mean, on one hand, I know.
Hold on. If it's things that are said compared to actions done, if we want to go that way, we can give Pip that.
Well, I mean, basically our stories, both of our stories, were politicians saying stupid things. Now, in my case, my politician was saying willfully stupid things, and in your case, your politician was making stupid errors for the most part, and that's where you and I would have the debate. But none of ours rose or sunk to the level of taking on the fight of feline Americans. Again, if you want to have this battle, I'll stay in the fight. But if you're willing to concede that Pips is so entertaining, I am willing to lay down my sword.
All right, we'll lay down our sword.
All right, Pip, good job.
Good job.
Wow! Thank you, guys. Thank you. As a feline American, I am very pleased that you saw my way in this category.
Listen, I
catnip for everyone.
Yeah.
Wait. Hold on a second.
She's licking herself.
I have to groom for a while.
Listen, I always say entertainment value for our purposes should trump all. I mean, now our politicians were certainly entertaining, but
absolutely.
But feline Americans, it's good. Now, Pip, since you won that one, were you going to fight hard for yours, or were you going to go for what Joe's or mine?
You know, I think that because this is clearly a, you know, both sides of the aisle kind of conversation that you guys were having. I mean, I understand some of the things that Joe said. I mean, they were funny. The gaffes are funny. Some of the things, though, when he's saying that, you know, somebody's microphone was cut off at a certain point, that's not his doing. So I was like, that's not a really strong point for your argument. On the other hand, the Marjorie Taylor Greene is just such an outrageous asshole. I would have been more inclined to go towards that because of the outrageous things that she says and does.
Yeah, I think I know I would have won that one if we eliminated yours. But again, your story was so damn entertaining, much more entertaining than what Joe and I brought to the table. Although both very entertaining in their own right, don't get me wrong. But that was certainly out of the litter box, so you deserve that, Pip.
And it was just so recent that it was like, you know, I was on the fence about, well, this, I don't know if that's that funny. This one, I don't know if that's that funny. This one was funny.
Yep. Funny wins. Good for you. Good job, Pip. You're on the board.
Thank you.
All right. Joe, start us off for the biggest fool of the year.
The biggest fool of the year. Now, in previous shows that we've done, specialty shows in regards to the biggest fool, the Father's Day show, the Mother's Day show. Basically, it is a key, one of the key things that has come into play recently in the past 3 years is selection. And sometimes the game is a matter of a game of cards along with the story. My biggest fool, Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Son of a bitch!
She is a complete asshole. I'm going to even accentuate. Now, some of the things I'm going to, you might have touched on, but she's also in a pair of tweets. She cheered on what she said was an alpha male response by Will Smith to joke about his wife's struggle with alopecia and chastised Chris Rock. Also, she tweeted every single year more than 600,000 people in the U.S. die from cancer. The country never once shut down. Not a single school is closed. And every year, 600 people of all ages and all races will continue to die from cancer. She also mentioned the Pete Buttigieg thing that they should stay out of the girls' bathroom. The Gazpacho police. She said, what else did she say? I mentioned that. Oh, there's some more here.
Hold on. Can I stop? Can I stop real quick? Can I just say that when Joe is able to find a large body of work, he's happy to recite them. So I don't want to hear shit. Go on, sir. Go on, sir. But with Joe Biden and Marjorie Taylor Greene, you're doing what I do.
Marjorie Taylor Greene of Georgia was offered cookies and a geography lesson by leaders in Guam after she falsely suggested the U.S. territory is a foreign country that didn't deserve aid. Let's see.
Oh, holy shit!
Yeah. Conspiracy theorist Alex Jones' InfoWars shows on February 20th on Marjorie Taylor Greene appeared to suggest the threat of violence is exactly how we need to stand up against trans and non-binary people in society. Then she mentioned that she rejected claims the pro-Trump movement is a racist at a conference. She tried to defend that by noting the yellow people are among the people that love Trump.
I don't remember that.
Yes. The far-right Republican Center College of Republicans a frosty message late Monday after the national group marked the start of Kwanzaa. In a Twitter post that also happened to spell the name of the festival, she said, "Stop, it's a fake religion created by psychopaths. People are tired of pandering and BS." Then she lashed out at Republicans who were working for Caitlyn Jenner's California gubernatorial bid, even referred to Jenner as a long-time Republican as a man in a dress. And then we have everything Davin said. Now, what I was doing when I was putting together the last part of the segment during lunch, and I was going to go with Biden as the biggest fool. And then I looked more at Marjorie Taylor Greene. She is a complete and utter asshole beyond compare, and she is my pick for the biggest fool.
She was a consideration for me, too. I'm not going to lie.
Wow. That's
such a body of such a body of
work. She does have a body of work. All right, Pip, what do you got?
Well, I went with Putin.
Really?
Yes, because I'm thinking that he is losing his marbles. In the year 2022, there's a lot out there to be scared about. The next COVID-19 variant, the news that we have a brief and rapidly closing window before parts of the Earth are uninhabitable, etc. But probably the most pressingly scary in the hierarchy of things people are shitting their pants over right now is the fact that the president of Russia is a power-hungry megalomaniac who harbors imperial ambitions, so much so that he decided to attack a neighboring country. The good news on the fact that front is that, number one, the West of the world, including the famously, I don't want to get involved, Switzerland, is not down with Vladimir Putin's plans, hitting Russia with crippling sanctions after crippling sanction. And two, Ukraine has been able to put up a much bigger fight than Putin expected. Obviously, these are welcome developments. The problem is, remember the part about him being a power-hungry megalomaniac? That type of person tends not to take failure in stride, which brings us back to the bad news. According to reporters Ken Dillian, Carol E. Lee, Courtney Koob, and Dan DeLuce, Putin has been lashing out in anger at underlings over how his military campaign is going and the worldwide condemnation of his actions, which he apparently didn't see coming. Intelligent officials say those outbursts are unusual, as the former KGB agent is known to keep his emotions close to the vest. This is somebody that's clearly been caught off guard by the size of the Ukrainian resistance, Senator Mark Warner, the chairman of the Intelligence Committee, told MSNBC. He has isolated himself. He's not been in the Kremlin very much. I do worry that he's been backed into a corner. I do worry there's no obvious exit ramp. While U.S. officials who spoke to NBC News say they do not believe Putin has become mentally unstable, a worrisomely low bar, they are concerned about the fact that he has displayed a different pattern of behavior from the past. As former CIA Director John Brennan put it, this is such a bad, bad miscalculation on Putin's part. He's never faced something like this before. I'm sure he's lashing out at advisors, ministers, and others. There may be an emotional spiral here. He suffered two black eyes, a bloody nose, and a series of punches. He's being crippled on the battlefield and the financial front, and he has no good options. People in emotional spirals tend not to think clearly, a situation made all the more concerning given Putin's access to nuclear weapons and his threats to use them, which former U.S. National Security Council Senior Director Fiona Hill, an expert in Russian and European affairs, believed the world should be taking very seriously. In an interview with Politico, Hill asked, how close we are to nuclear conflict and if she really thought Putin would use a nuclear weapon, to which she responded, well, we're right there. Basically, what President Putin has said quite explicitly in recent days is that if anybody interferes in Ukraine, they will be met with a response that they've never had in their history. And he has put Russia's nuclear forces on high alert. So he's making it very clear that nuclear is on the table. The thing about Putin is, if he has an instrument, he wants to use it. Why have it if he can't? He's already used nuclear weapons in some respect. Russian operatives poisoned Alexander Litvinenko, oh boy, I can't say that, with radio...
It's very funny how all of a sudden Joe's taking a page out of my playbook, Pip's struggling with the things I struggle with. Very funny to watch.
I know. With radioactive polonium and turned him into a human dirty bomb, and polonium was spread all around London at every spot that poor man visited. He died a horrible death as a result. So at Axios, Jonathan Swan and Zachary Basu noted that the White House must now figure out how it can give Vladimir Putin an off-ramp to avoid even greater calamity, a great question for which no one appears at this time to have any answer. Well, my point in all of this is that he is, now he was always very calm and just like had a very stoic presentation and was just absolutely cruel and vicious. But now he's becoming like he's showing his ass. He's sitting in front of his close advisors and he's lashing out at them and wigging out to a degree that people are starting to notice that he's losing his cool. And he thought he could just go in and run right over Ukraine, but he made a huge tactical error, and he wasn't taking into consideration what the world was going to do as a result, how little they had in the way of equipment, manpower. You know, they were terribly, talk about, you know, a supply chain issue. They have, you know, the Russians are going into Ukraine, and they're running out of gas, supplies, food. They got, you know, a lot of the army is not behind what he wants them to do. So he's made huge, stupid errors in doing this. And, you know, one of the hallmarks of being a fool is to throw good money after bad. He's doubling down on what was already a mistake. So I think in this respect, he's the biggest fool this year.
All right. Very good. Well, I took a much different tack than both of you guys this year. So we'll see if my gamble paid off. I'm betting that this person was so foolish, they can outdo the body of works. And you know how I feel about Putin, and you know how I feel about Marjorie Taylor Greene. But still, I got a pretty foolish person over here. So we'll see.
Really?
Yes. A Georgia cop was busted for dealing pot while... What do you think he was doing while he was busted for dealing pot?
What?
I can't imagine.
On duty and in uniform. Authority said Warwick Police Officer Leon Mitchell, 32, sold marijuana to undercover agents in Worth County and Lee County, the Georgia Bureau of Investigation said in a news release. The GBI had been tipped off that Mitchell was dealing while on duty as a Warwick cop. The release said he was arrested on January 28th in Warwick Police Headquarters, according to the GBI. Pot scales and plastic bags were later found inside the car Mitchell was driving. Mitchell is facing charges of sale of marijuana, possession with intent to distribute marijuana, possession of a firearm during the commission of a felony. He was also slapped with 3 counts of violating his oath of office and using a communication device during the commission of a felony. Mitchell, a resident of Albany in the southwestern part of the state, was still in jail Friday after he was denied bail. Again, mine is short and sweet. Clearly not the body of work, but he was doing this for a while. You're a cop. You know better. Listen, if you're a cop and you're dealing pot and you're not in uniform, okay. If you're a cop and you're dealing pot and you're not on duty, okay, clearly a fool. But when you're doing it on duty, in your uniform. Because you know what a cop uniform has? Your name, stupid. It has your name. And you're going to encounter people who don't like cops. And you know better, because you know what happens, because you're supposed to know the law, because, wait for it, you're a cop! I mean...
But I have questions.
I don't know if I have answers.
Well, one of the questions is, there's a law, you're not allowed to use a communications device in the commission of a felony? You're not allowed to get on the phone during a felony?
You know,
that is a law?
Well, you'll have to ask him and his attorney, dear. Apparently, and the prosecutor. Yes.
The felony itself isn't enough, but you had the balls to get on the phone during it. Who wrote this fucking law?
You know what I'm guessing? I'm guessing he was doing official police business while he's in the process. Like, he's probably going back to get the weed and answering something over the radio. And I'm guessing that's what it is. You know, he's multitasking. If I had to guess,
he's pressing that shoulder thing I'll be right there to that crime.
Dimebag
or what?
Dimebag, hold on, there's a rape in progress. I'll tell them to hold on while you make up your mind which cush you want. I'll be right there.
could you not insert until I get there, because I got a deal and I'm in the middle of who's the bigger fool?
See, that's what
the cop that's dealing, or the people that are walking up to a cop in uniform and asking him for drugs?
Well,
what?
Officer Mike.
I'm guessing those aren't the smartest people in the world. Maybe they don't know the rules. I'm not saying they're not fools, but this is the guy who's doing illegal shit with his name on his chest. And you know somebody's going to get you, because people hate cops. I'm not saying they should or they shouldn't, but they shouldn't. I'm saying they shouldn't. You shouldn't hate cops. But you know somebody's got, you know the police are not popular right now. Hold on, Pip, we lost you. Hold on, stop. I have to call everybody back, because I did not do that, and the phone crapped out. So everybody, hang up the phone. Hang up. I know. Hang up the phone.
Call
during the break, because Pip's phone can't handle such long conversations. Pip.
No, it can't.
As you were saying, I'm sorry, we didn't hear what you were saying.
Oh, no, I was just saying, who's the bigger fool? Because, there's a cop there, and, somebody's going to be pissed off, because here he is. He is arresting people on one hand for dealing whatever drugs, and then he's dealing and thinks he's going to get away with it on the other hand. Of course somebody's going to rat him out. I mean, what kind of nonsense is that? How long did he think he could get away with that?
So you see my point.
it's pretty stupid. I mean,
No, it's not pretty stupid. It's almost all time stupid. Like, we've done enough of these where we all have, and we've talked about them on this show already, stupid criminals. We have plenty of stupid criminals. But this is an all-time stupid cop. And through the years, we have fought about many things about the police, whether they were justified or not justified. Should you comply? Should you not comply? Whatever. We're not going over it again. I think any sane human being, regardless of what you think of the police, go, this guy's a fool. What's he doing?
What is he doing? Well, you know what? And now I kind of see your strategy in giving me the entertaining
jitterbox
guy.
No, I could lose because of it. Because Joe was going to. Turns out Joe would have eventually conceded.
Well, slow down. Slow down. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry, because I thought we went down again. My whole thing is this. Yeah, he's a fool, but Marjorie Taylor Greene's thing, it's been repeated. We're talking about a grander stage and repeated stupidity on a steady basis.
Yeah, but we just...
Marjorie Taylor Greene has. Now, a tip in your story, has Putin made mistakes here? Generals have been lost ground, he's not making the ground. However, the jury's not out on how the outcome will be on this. if she will have to surrender and move back, or if he will triumph. So basically, the jury's out on that. So in my case, I feel due to a grander stage and repeated stupidity on a more basis, which Shavin covered in the last segment and which I covered in mine, I do feel Marjorie Taylor Greene is the bigger asshole.
Now I will. I will use Joe's argument though. Because the political argument, there are plenty of people that support Marjorie Taylor Greene. I mean, she is the number one fundraiser on the Republicans. I mean, there's plenty of, she's doing this for politics. Now, again, obviously, I'm not a fan of Marjorie Taylor Greene, and she was my candidate on the last one. But you could say she's a fool like a fox if you wanted to make that argument. She knows what she's doing. She only has to win her seat. So she just goes for broke because she knows every time she says something foolish and batshit crazy, it's going to help her. It's going to help her career.
Right, every time. But it's something new every time. She outdoes herself.
Oh, she's great. She's great. She's a gift.
Was one incident.
Well, no. This guy's been doing it for a while. This wasn't the one time he sold it.
But was it so he was selling pot, right? It was just selling pot.
No. It wasn't just selling pot, Joe. Oh, if it was just selling pot, it was possession with intent to distribute, possession of a firearm during the commission of a felony. He was also stopped with recounts of violating his oath of office. That's the thing. That's the thing.
That was in every incident, correct?
This was what? Excuse me?
This was in every incident, correct, that he did this?
I don't know if he did it in every incident. He did it on this one.
But still, there was nothing new or different in that incident. It was almost the same. It was pretty much the same M.O. in every incident. With Marjorie Taylor Greene, she just goes beyond the reaches of stupidity to say things and do things.
Well,
so it's not, so basically, it's it, with your guy, it's the same M.O. pretty much all the time. Marjorie Taylor Greene, it's something new every time.
No, it's usually
something new every time. I would say the win goes to Marjorie Taylor Greene.
It's usually vaccines and a comparison to Nazis. I mean, the Pete Buttigieg was entertaining.
No. You had a laundry. You yourself.
A lot of that was Nazis. The Pete Buttigieg was different.
Different than that.
Nah.
Did you not?
Here's what I'm saying. Joe's point. I would have to bow out because Putin's strategy we haven't seen the end of how this is going to turn out. So, I mean, history will actually tell if he's been a fool or not. I mean, in my estimation, starting it was foolish. But that's a really good point, is that we don't know how, I mean, despite the condemnation of the world, we don't know if he's going to end up being the fool of this instance or not. So I'm willing to bow out on that. Now, as far as Davins, I think that I almost want to say, and this is nitpicking a little bit because we're getting down to the end of it, and it seems like this cop, although one might say it's a foolish move, I think it's more a matter of hubris. He thinks he can get away with it, and he thinks that somehow being in uniform is going to protect him, which made it that much more egregious.
Yeah, but hold on. I got to stop you right there. I mean, they both have hubris. I mean, Marjorie Taylor Greene said, I mean, that's not a good reason to eliminate either one of these two. They both have hubris. Marjorie Taylor Greene knows she can just keep on upping the thing, and she's going to raise more money with it. So, I mean, they both...
Okay. The thing about it is that the cop's incentive was making money as well. So looking at that incident, it's one thing he's doing to make money. She is coming up with a whole plethora of incidents to make money. So on the basis of an incident, she has plenty more incidents of her being foolish than this one cop does.
But he's not. But she's.
Of them, in the two segments.
But she's not violating her oath. It's, you know, this guy knows that.
Is Understood, but is the segment the person violating their oath or the biggest fool?
Well, the. Yeah. Well, I mean, but if we're just going to make it always the body of work, then that one is always going to win. Like I showed.
But still, the body of work is doing something foolish. So if you're looking at the body of work, Marjorie Taylor Greene has done more to generate money being foolish than an incident, which is the same MO that this cop did.
Well, but she hasn't done anything.
Maybe five incidents compared to at least 12 to 14. That you and I and you have mentioned in the previous two segments.
But your argument before, you said Will Smith, you said everybody would agree, regardless of where they sit on politics, that Will Smith.
We're not talking about Will Smith now.
Hold on. I'm pointing
compared to the others.
Hold on. But in your argument for Will Smith, you said that regardless of political affiliation, everybody would see Will Smith, what he did, was the bigger fool. I contend, regardless of political affiliation, because there are plenty of Republicans that like to go to Marjorie Taylor Greene. Regardless of political affiliation, people will be looking at at Mr. Leon Mitchell and go, man, that guy was a fool. That was some stupid stuff right there. Nobody's going to defend this guy. If you're talking about who's the biggest fool that we can all agree on, it's Leon, baby. It's Leon.
If you took it on a statistic that you went to a sample of people and you gave the your story, and then you gave a story on everything, the body of work, at least 13 to 14 things, and that's all we had time to do, you and I in our time, and then you gave statistically, you would come back with more people thinking Marjorie Taylor Greene is the bigger fool based on all the incidences that she had with, instead of the one incident that the cop.
Oh, I wholeheartedly disagree. I could not disagree with that more. I think that depends on what region of the country you're in, who you're asking. I mean, like I said, she has legions of fans. She is powerful in the right. This guy.
And there are legions of people that think she's a complete asshole.
Absolutely. But it can't just be all about fame.
Party, which statistically would be smaller than a larger outcome.
I can't believe that you guys have gone this long on this one particularly, because I know how much you love to win, Devin, but really Marjorie Taylor Greene is the much bigger fool of the two.
Oh, I don't think so. I mean, I could have made her number one. But I mean, if you're just looking.
That being said, with all due respect, now at least on two to three occasions, you've mentioned to me, it's like, well, it's a great story. However, your selection, and you've told me a couple of times, he goes, you should have moved. You're working your selection. What I thought is, if you had your story, you had your story, and either you had the same story, you couldn't do it. So basically, and this is going back in the past three years, you've learned that it's not only the story, it's a game of poker where you put the story. So that's, you know, and like I said, I was going to go with Biden as my biggest fool, but after doing my final prep, I'm like, he's a complete and utter asshole. And there's so many stories, and that's why I went one. So, and as a matter of fact, I'm surprised that you, of all people, didn't go with that as the main
because
story.
Because you just said it right there. Because you said it right there.
It was out of your wheelhouse not to do that.
You said it right there. She's the biggest asshole. Oh, I agree. She's the biggest asshole. But it's the biggest fool. This guy's the biggest fool. That's the difference.
No, on a
case by case basis, based on making money and based on incidents, it has to go to Marjorie Taylor Greene. It has to go to Marjorie because there's just so much more. There's so much more there. Was it foolish? Yes, but it was in a 5 or 6.
But here's the thing. Here's the thing, though. It hasn't hurt her. It's only helped her.
Which is just unfucking believable.
But it's not. It's not. It's not unbelievable. You know. She knows how America is more than most.
That still remains to be seen when the next election comes up. Who knows?
I don't know. I don't even think
she's on the radical fringe of the right, me included. I wouldn't have, you know my leanings. I wouldn't have put her in there if I didn't think she was a complete nutter asshole. Yeah, you know, I put Sarah Palin in the same thing. She's they're morons.
Oh, I'm not saying they're not morons. I'm not the.
I know, but I'm saying they're fools. They're fools too. And her body of work of saying foolish stuff is just so on a grander stage on a repeated process on new topics. It's astounding.
The fact that there's just so many different times where oh my God, my Zoom just stopped, and Joe looks like he's about to bite somebody.
Just jiggle your page; it should move. It happens to me.
Oh yeah, okay, I'll try that. So there's so many things that she has said that, well, I can't really give her credit to say that all of the things that she's saying are, like, she's really thinking them out. Like Tucker Carlson, I know that he's thinking out, what's the most outrageous thing I could say, and just to get ratings. I think that she does believe some of the stuff that she's saying. It's just so egregiously stupid that I think she really is that stupid. I mean, dumb like a fox, yeah, because she knows that there's enough stoops right behind her throwing money at her that she's like, she feels invincible. But she is that stupid in my mind. She is really, like...
She's the number one fundraiser. So, she's doing something right.
God, I don't know if Queen of the Stupid is a brilliant political move, then yeah, she's a fucking genius.
Well, you know, listen, I mean, I could say the same thing about Trump. Joe would say the same thing about Joe Biden. Playing to the stupid is a great way to win in politics. And she seems to be pretty adept at it. So, I don't...
Yeah.
All right. I mean, it is... It is what it is. I don't think it was correct. I could have put Marjorie Taylor Greene there. That would have been the easy way. Let's be honest. Because I know you would... No, well, hear me out. Because I know Pip would have agreed. And I know you don't like Marjorie Taylor Greene, Joe. I know those things going in. And I could have won the second round with it, too. I gambled. You know, that's fine.
Here's the deal with you, okay? Your background is law. My background is purchasing. I'm a negotiator. You're a lawyer. And both you have to plead a damn good case. So this is what we do. So going in, you know, you and I know that you have to have something with a lot of basis to prove your case. So, you know, it's not, I didn't take the easy way. I took the way that I thought there was more proof.
Yeah, I know, but I just feel like you making that argument is really disingenuous against the argument you made with Will Smith and Tucker Carlson. Because I gave you a body of work, and you said, well, this one thing is more. See, that's the problem. That's the problem. That you guys, you're all over the place.
What it is, but on a grander stage, and once again, going back
to... Listen, if you want to go with grander stage...
On a grander stage.
If you want to go with grandest stage, then Pip wins this one. If you want to go with grandest stage, he's the leader of Russia, and he's starting a global war. If you want to go on grandest stage,
he truly hasn't been out yet on what he's doing is foolish or not. That's going to be something that's going to go into the history books. Unfortunately, it's still, you know, on a precarious situation. You know, we wish we would have the answer. I wish that everything was over and we could, you know, and this whole thing, and we could say yes or no or different. But still, unfortunately, and it's on a world state, you know, I mean, we don't know yet. We don't know how this is going to end. It's not a fun place to be in, to tell you the truth.
I just feel it's a moving target.
If you could look at something dispassionately as an insect, and you're just looking in terms of, you know, did you defend your hive? Did you get the most resources? You know, did you win that battle? If you could look at things in that way, yeah, we have no idea if Putin will be victorious. As human beings, we can look at it and say, he's bombing fucking children's hospitals, man, you know, and schools. He's a ruthless villain. And so we know that in the court of public decision, he's lost. But as far as foolishness. Like, was this a foolish tactical move? The jury's still out, so that's where I made my mistake.
Let's say we were back in the, 1863, and we're talking about the Civil War. We could say, well, Lincoln is a fool because nothing's working well, and nothing was. I mean, McClellan wasn't that aggressive of a general. They weren't winning the battles. Things weren't working out right. Turns out he wound up getting Grant, and things turned around and stuff. Obviously, the jury's been out on that for over 160 years. Right now, the jury is not out on this. Yes, lost generals. He's not getting the ground he wants. However, I mean, and you know, the Ukraine is, you know, it's on their turf, and they're putting up a valiant fight. We don't know where this is turning out. So you're looking at what's going on right now. It's how the negotiations are going to end when this conflict wraps up. So we can't really make a solid judgment on that right now.
I mean, also the fact that he's picking on a democracy. He did not. I think he undervalued the world's opinion on this particular move and what they would, tolerate. I mean, he has this over a barrel with the threat of nuclear weapons. That's just. Not just foolish. That's like astoundingly evil. But I mean, tactically, it's smart because he knows in a chess move, nobody wants to be the one that pushed him to do it.
It's still a game of chess, and also the information that we're getting has been very sketchy. I mean, for example, he said 15,000 Russian troops have been killed. That number is inaccurate. Obviously, a lot of Russian troops have been killed, but it's not 15,000. And also the casualties, and stuff on the side of the Ukraine, it's up to conjecture as well. Did they attack a children's hospital? They said they did. Where's the casualty list on that? So I'm not taking sides. I'm saying in the reporting, everybody, both sides, the Ukraine and Russia, have been playing it close to the vest. So really getting an understanding of what the hell is going on there is still kind of sketchy.
Yeah, but we know it started it all.
Obviously, Putin making that, and on the pretenses that he did, yeah, we're really not grounded. So, it's still up in the air, and it's a horrible situation, and hopefully this comes to a resolution, and we could hopefully there'll be one day when we can talk, on the results of it. So, hopefully.
Yeah.
All right. Chip, give us the rundown for the five. Let's get out of here.
All right. Okay. So, as far as athlete, Davin won that with the flaming crotch and weed whacker. That was amazing.
I gotta tell you something. The flaming crotch, it's like, yeah, we heard that before. Weed whacker, yeah, we're going to do.
it was a winning combo, even if it was a losing combo.
Got to throw my cards back in the pile, yeah, we're going to do.
I mean, it was a losing combo for that poor bastard is what I mean. Then, right, as the celebrity, we bent poor Davin to our will, although Tucker Carlson is quite the asshole. We believe that the big fool of the moment was Will Smith, so both Joe and I picked that.
But remember, that will be revisited.
And I am, look, it was a heavy debate, but I am in no way a Tucker Carlson fan. I am absolutely, yes, where they lean, but I am not a Tucker Carlson fan.
But remember, that one has the stipulation of we will review
We will review on the Father's Day.
And really what we're saying is anybody really still talking about the Will Smith thing? Because if they're not talking about the Will Smith thing, I get the win. If they are, you guys get the win.
Yeah. That's true.
All right. So right now, you guys share that.
Yeah, we shared that. And then Florida Man, Davin and Joe shared the win. Davin with his woman on her electronic Samsonite, and then spinning in the eye of the cop and telling him to suck her dick, and then pooping in the back of the police car. Mwah! What a beautiful day. And then Joe's friend, not his friend, but the dog fucker in the house who gets caught, and instead of backing down owner backing away or being mortified, decided to double down and attack the people who owned the dog. That when those two, those were excellent stories, and I said that that was a tie to me because.
And we will not be revisiting that on Father's Day. That will remain a tie.
They keep their standing because yes. They're both excellent. Then, in a surprise to me, in the political round, I won for the Nebraska congressman who believed that kids were coming to school calling themselves cats, and there were litter boxes being installed in the bathrooms to accommodate them. And this enraged the Nebraska Republican senator. Then in the last one, in a hotly contended debate for the biggest fool, Joe won for Marjorie Taylor Greene's outstanding display of foolishness over the last few months. And so when I count them up, it looks like Joe.
It does. Now, hold on. Now, it does.
The biggest fools this year.
Joe named the top fool. Now, remember, if you share, if it's a tie, it's a half. So what happens if...
Oh, wait.
Oh, yeah, it's a half.
Wait.
If you share, it's a half.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So Joe is the winner right now, and Joe has the top fool. But what happens for... I want to see what happens for overall fools if come Father's Day, people are not talking about Will Smith, and I get that W. Who will have the most...
Wait, if that's a... Oh, yeah. No, that... Joe does win.
No. Joe wins right. Joe wins right now, and Joe has the number one biggest fool. But I want to. What happens if on Father's Day you guys lose that half, and I get that back? Nobody's talking about Will Smith. Who has the biggest fools? Count that. What that would be?
If we don't have the Will Smith win, Tucker Carlson,
and I get that point. If I get that point, and you guys lose that, and Joe loses that half, what happens?
Well, now, if Putin wins the war, and also, surprisingly, everyone turns towards him, do I win? God.
Hold on. What I said was negotiated during the countdown. You're doing it after. We negotiated this. We negotiated.
I know, but it's like, this is a new wrinkle. If in months, because we're making these decisions.
But remember, the basis of your win was that people will be talking about this months from now. And I said, if it didn't just happen, nobody'd be talking about that. That was the basis of your win, which you both conceded was possible. You both also felt that people will be talking about this. I'm not saying six months from now. It's 2 months from now. I'm saying, are people going to be talking about this? And we all agreed.
Okay.
We all agreed. So that's what I'm saying. Just see what it would be. We'll revisit, but see what it would be.
Okay.
So what would it be if Joe loses that half and I gain that full? What would it be?
If you got that full, then you would have 2.5. And
Joe loses that half.
1.5.
Okay, very interesting. So Joe has the top overall fool, and right now it seems like Joe has the most fools in total. But that title of most fools in total could be reversed on the Father's Day countdown if people are not still talking about the slap heard around the Oscars.
We agreed to do this, but I feel that it's basically it's based on what's going on. On the day of the show. Now we did agree on this. I feel moving forward onto the Mother's Day and the Father's Day. This disagreement is a one and done.
I don't know. I think that gives.
I think it should be based on what's going on at the time of the show. Now you'll turn around and go, no. We made an agreement.
No. I'm not even talking about that. I'm not even talking. We know
this will be a one and done.
Hold on. What I'm saying is that logic gives too much importance to proximity. So say we're doing the Mother's and Father's Day, whichever one it is, and the day before the show, there's a mother that does something so very outrageous. I'm saying if that mother did it...
Then it happens to be something that happens in pop culture that will be more prevalent that day of the show.
Yeah, but I don't like that.
That being said, I think that if we start moving this rule... it's going to be going back and forth. We're going to be carrying on about this. Now, we did make an agreement. We will stand with the agreement, but this will this agreement is a one and done.
No, what I'm saying is proximity should not be a reason.
I understand that, but you can't put a lid on current events, and you can't put a lid on when a current event comes in the proximity of a live show.
But wait, here's the problem with that.
We will make that agreement, but it will be a one and done. We'll make an exemption, and it will be a one and done
but
agreement.
But the problem with that is it penalizes stories and research from months ago. You get penalized if you get something.
That's never
been the case.
You can't stop. I mean, take a look at your stocks. What are you going to go call your agent and say, "Well, I want my money where it was"?
No, I'm gonna hold my stocks. I mean, what's that mean? I'm gonna hold my stocks. That's what I do. I don't sell them when they're low or sell them when they're high. Or, you know, I hold my stocks.
Like I said, looking back, I don't think we should have made that agreement. We made the agreement. We will do it. It will be a one time.
Yeah, I don't like the proximity rule because
even though the story is there, it shouldn't be based on the proximity of the show. I don't think it's right because you can't. It's real life. You can't do that.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is if you do that forward, a mother who did something terrible the day of the show who wouldn't normally
Mazel tov.
Ah. I don't know, man. I don't because it's the biggest of the year. It's the biggest of the year.
I don't have a good example with the if the mother does something. I understand their proximity. Maybe weighting our idea of who the biggest fool was in this particular crystallized incident, but I don't think that any other thing. I mean, we'll make the judgment as we go, but I don't think any other thing.
Oh, I could see it
more because of the moment that it happened.
Oh, I could see it. There's been stories.
Look, listen to me. When we do this, I mean, it's ridiculous what we do, but when we do this, we debate. One of the things we love to do is debate and argue and pick points. If the story did not have a lasting gravity, it would have never made it through debate stage. It would have never made it through debate. So the fact that it did, it has the gravity.
But that's the whole point, Joe. That's where we disagree on the Will Smith thing, because your guys' whole argument was that this has gravity, and I go, this is fleeting TMZ shit. That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't think fleeting stuff should be, you know, given extra credit because it just happened. That's all I'm saying.
No, but this isn't a big story because it just happened. It's a big story because it was violence perpetrated during a live event that millions of people stopped their world to sit and watch the Oscars. Also,
Let me ask you a question.
They're talking about maybe taking his Oscar back for having done it. A bigger deal.
Did any of you guys watch the Oscars?
1972. On an incident that happened in 1972, and you mentioned a couple of things in 1972, and you mentioned, like, in pop culture what happened. The instance where Marlon Brando had the woman from a tribe come up and accept the award and then bring the plight of the American Indian in the country is also a groundbreaking event that actually came during the Oscars. That was a groundbreaking event that people have talked about, or in pop culture, that what happened on Sunday night is also along the lines of.
I never heard that story.
Yeah. If you looked at it, like, if something William F. Buckley said during that talk, if you said, well, what would you, during that thing, what would you know something William F. Buckley said in conjecture to the Democratic Party, or what Marlon Brando did, more people would say, well, Marlon Brando had that, you know, that woman up. Maybe from more an intellectual circle or a political circle, well, William F. Buckley criticized Nixon on it. Then more people are going to remember that incident that happened during the Oscars than they would on something that Buckley said against the Democratic Party or against Nixon, mm-hmm. if he had. So, and that's my point.
I don't know anybody. Yeah. I don't know anybody other than comics who like to live tweet and live Facebook during any award show or anything. I don't know anybody who watched the Oscars. I'm just saying. I'm just saying, I don't know anybody who watches them. I mean,
it's a big deal.
Right, certain people, absolutely. But anybody has a, it's a niche thing. The Oscars don't
It's not.
It's not.
Absolutely.
How many?
No.
It's not niche.
How many people do you think watched the Oscars last year?
I have no idea what they're.
I know how many people. I know how many people watched. How many people do you think watched?
Well, it was during the pandemic. So that's not a representative year.
Why? Everybody's home. How many people do you think watched?
Well, but yeah, they were home. They weren't there at the show. They watched. No. They want to watch the who wins. They want to watch the fashion.
Why are you bringing up last year? What's last year happening?
What I'm saying is, last year, and the trend has been 10.7 million people watched the Oscars last year. Which for TV shows is not a lot for a country.
Nothing happened. It was more exciting watching snails fuck
right
than what happened on there.
But nobody watched. I guarantee you, when the numbers come out, nobody watched it live this year. Now it went viral afterwards, but it's not this cultural thing anymore.
You just answered the question.
Yeah, it went viral afterwards, just like Tucker Carlson goes viral in certain circles.
Yeah, but it went viral.
Not at the level listed.
Well, we'll see.
Not at the level listed.
Listen,
that's the debate that this has sparked.
We will see.
Between celebrities.
I promise you, come June, this will not be in TMZ. This will not be in newspapers. People will not be talking about it. People will still be talking about Kanye. I guarantee you people will still be talking about Kanye. But people will not. And now the only thing that might change that. The only thing that might change that and could screw me up is if Will Smith and Jada Pinkett Smith do a sit-down with Oprah in the weeks leading up to it, then I'm doomed. Then I'm doomed because people will be talking about it and I will have to concede. But unless they do a sit-down with Oprah, and now remember, Will has done a sit-down with Oprah that made headlines, and Jada Pinkett Smith has a talk show, The Red Table, where she talked about her infidelity with Will Smith. Now, if one of them does that, leading up to Father's Day, I lost. Nothing I can do. I can't say, yeah, but they just did it. Yeah, they lost. Them's the rules. That's the agreement. So, but unless
right. they... And them's the rules and that's the agreement, and this will be a one and done, because we can't go on with these, with wondering if something happens that is in the news. The news is the news. Things happen and happen. Pop culture is pop culture. Thing about... And we can't, if we're happening to do a story a couple of days later than that, that's the way it is. And every show deals with it that way. I mean, including ours. So it'll be a disagreement, so on and done.
No, but the whole basis of your victory, and then we'll say goodnight, was that people will be talking about this for a long time. Maybe you're right. Maybe I miscalculated. Maybe people will be talking about this in May. And in June, when the Father's Day thing. We're really not talking about very far from now.
You've got to understand something. You have got an obsession with pointing things out about Tucker Carlson. I'm not saying that's
not at all.
I'm not saying that's wrong. But what I am saying is a majority of the people don't, because they're not invested into it as much.
Tucker Carlson.
Where a majority of the people don't have the time. They're more invested in pop culture. With pop culture, that story will have more legs than anything Tucker Carlson will do.
Well, let's see. I'm going to find out real quick how many viewers does Tucker Carlson have? Because I'm thinking he has around the same, if not more, than the Oscars. Let's see. How many viewers? How many ticker? How many viewers does Tucker Carlson? Because I think he's more influential than you think. Does Tucker?
Ticker Carlson is his heart.
Have. Let's see.
Well, but you also have to add in the viral.
Right, but we're not doing that. We're not going to do that, because then that's constantly going. All right, let's. Rounding out the top five most watched shows in cable news were Tucker Carlson Tonight, 3.38. All right, you're right. All right, so there you go. There you go. So more people watch the Oscars. Three times as many people watch the Oscars than Tucker Carlson. All right, you're right on that. I'll concede that. But we will We will see if a mere 8 weeks from now, 9, 10 weeks, something like that, 10 weeks, I think like 2.5 months from now, if people will still be talking about the slap heard around the world. Listen, if Chris Rock and Will Smith in beginning of June, end of May, announced they're going to do a buddy cop movie together, I'm screwed. I mean, it could happen, but then you know what would happen is then people would say it was a fake the whole time. People would say that.
They would say it was for publicity.
Right, but that has nothing to do with what we're arguing about.
No.
Although it would, it actually would, because then we'd be the fools. We'd be the fools because we believed it.
Chinese buffet. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Joe, congratulations on your victory. Well done. Well done.
Well done.
We will see what happens in June. But congratulations. You definitely have the top fool for this year. We'll see who has the most cumulative fool. Very spirited. Good stuff.
Here, Joe, you get a panda. It's supposed to be a medal.
A panda?
Any port in a storm, I'll take anything I can get.
What the hell's a panda? I mean, I know what a panda is.
Pandas at the Olympics.
They what? Weren't we? What? Wait. How do you introduce that tidbit while I'm trying to say goodnight? They were doing what now?
While I was looking for sports fools, I saw that a story about the Olympics. They said because of COVID, I don't know what that has to do with it. They were giving people these little pandas instead of the medals.
I did not hear that, but I'll tell you, I'd rather have a panda.
They were toys, not real pandas.
Oh, well, that changes that. What a stupid
toy pandas too.
Who the hell wants
pandas
a?
Pandas were harmed in the making of the Olympics.
Who the hell wants a stuffed?
The only bear you could pet is that it's not going to rip your arm off.
I don't know if that's true or not. If it thinks your arm is bamboo, you might be out of luck. But. You know, we were going to give you gold this year, but because of COVID, enjoy this plush panda. Get the fuck out of here. I've been training every year for the last 15 years for this. Get the fuck out of here.
I can bring this at the fucking carnival.
Yeah.
Could I come to China to get this thing?
Nobody's building their whole life off the story of the time they won the panda. That is awful. Oh, can your dad bring in the panda he won at the Olympics? Get the fuck out of here.
Bring that. I know, it's really bizarre.
How the hell did I not hear this? I am stunned.
I don't know. It's just like the stupid story, and I was like, what now? And I was like, no, that's not good.
Shh, they're bringing out the pandas. Yeah.
I'm like, that's not like one fool. Like, well, who would I say was the fool? The Olympic Committee in China? I didn't know how to blame that one on.
Wow. Okay. All right. We would like to thank Sensei Russ Ferdico for his continued support.
Thank you so much.
All right, Joe, what do you got for us?
Portobello is Bergen County, New Jersey's most exclusive fine dining Italian restaurant. The Tuscan Villa setting will make you feel like you've been transported to the old country. And every dish is prepared with care and attention to detail. And the Portobello chefs are happy to cater to any dietary need, thus ensuring every visit is not just a meal, but an experience. Portobello is open for lunch and dinner Monday through Saturday. And on Sunday, Portobello features a sumptuous brunch in addition to their dinner menu, which is available all day. Friday and Saturday nights, Portobello features live entertainment starting at 9 p.m. Portobello Banquets, that's your destination for that special event, such as a Sweet 16, wedding, office party, or anything that has to impress. And their professional staff will ensure that your event will not be just an occasion, but a memory. Portobello Banquets also hosts the popular comedy nights throughout the year, which are produced by Side Splitting Productions owner Davin of Davin's Den, which he'll have some announcements coming up soon. So experience all that Portobello has to offer, 175 Ramapo Valley Road, Oakland, New Jersey. Learn more. Call them, 201-337-8990. That is 201-337-8990. Or visit their website, PortobelloNJ.com. You deserve the best. You deserve a great night out. You deserve Portobello.
Side Splitting Productions for all your comedic needs and all your entertainment, private party, restaurants, fundraisers. Go to dabbingcomedy.com or give us a call, 551-404-3094, 551-404-3094. Optimum did not screw up that phone number, so that one has continued to work the whole time. Joe, where will you be? Where will you be?
I got nothing, but I got to tell you something. My aunt, God rest her soul, passed away 2 years ago in April. We're finally having a memorial service on Saturday for us.
Oh, well.
Ways are coming, so that'll be bittersweet.
I don't know what to say to that.
Wow.
I mean, you don't say enjoy yourself. We already offered condolences. I don't know what we do with that news. All I can say, Joe, is on behalf of me and Pip, enjoy this panda. That's all I can say.
Thank you. I accept the panda. Thank you.
That should be what we pass around now for all these for all the countdowns. We should pass the panda around to the title holder.
Yes. It's like, you know, when you offer condolences, you bring them, like, you know, a basket of muffins or a fruit basket or something. Here, have this panda.
Have this panda.
Yeah.
All right.
And if your fortune's reversed in June, you get the panda back.
We have to get the panda and be in the same place to actually get pass the panda back and forth. But I would fight hard for that panda. I'll tell you that much. All right.
Me too. Oh my God, pandas are adorable.
They're adorbs. Wednesday, March 30th, comedy at Hallworth, New Jersey, by at Andiamo in Hallworth, New Jersey, brought to you by Sidespinning Productions, starring Pete Schaefer, Adam Oliensis, and Jeff Radicevich. Always a good time at Andiamo in Hallworth. For tickets, call 201-384-1551. Also tomorrow, I will be... What the hell did I write? I will be at Chilango's in Highlands, New Jersey. For tickets, 732-708-0505. 732-708-0505. Unfortunately, I did not write Highlands, New Jersey. I wrote Juglans, New Jersey. I don't know. It's been a day.
You're doing the read. It's like you're not even sure where you're going to be. Yeah, I guess you're in the area. Come if I'm around.
No, the show's great, but just don't go to Juglans, although that does sound like a good time in its own right.
Yeah, really.
And a completely different kind of show.
And Saturday, April 2nd, I'll be performing for the Brick Rotary Club at the Brick VFW in New Jersey. A lot of stuff coming up. A lot of things to deal with. Maybe I'll have DVR service next week. Probably won't. Okay. Very, very, very spirited show. Very long show. Very hotly contested. Good job by Joe. Good job by Pip. We will see you all.
Good job by you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. We will see you all next time. If you like us, tell a friend. If you hate us,
tell no.
Tell no.